as he was to seeing his sweetheart, if the director would ever allow him to arrive at her house. When he eventually knocked at the door, predictably, we had to wait for the mother to answer it, and for him to be shown into the comfortable, dark kitchen. He had to wait, of course, for the girl, who, he was told, was brushing her hair upstairs, and would not be long. He talked to the mother, stroked a cat, and looked out of the window. Finally, the object of his affections descended the stairs. At this point, I sat forward in my seat. The young girl looked exactly as my wife Yvonne had looked at that age. She was pretty, with startlingly blue eyes and long blonde hair. I was delighted by the coincidence. They took their time, of course, in going outside to where the sun was now higher in the sky. I felt a frisson as they sat close together on the bench outside the door, and, unseen by the mother, he tenderly kissed the nape of her neck as she bent down to look into a box of buttons. I marvelled at the filmmaker's art as the boy's lips brushed the girl's skin. She slid her hand through the buttons in a way that was incredibly sensual. Then she picked out a heavy green one, shaped like an apple, and asked him if he knew that it had once belonged to the costume of a famous clown. Up until this point, I had enjoyed the coincidences I had found in the film, but this was stretching them too far. My mother had also had a very similar button in a sewing.